بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد وعلى محمد. Welcome brothers and sisters to the Mizan live program on the Ahkam of Fasting. We started a little later. I know some people were trying to tune in and it wasn't working out for them, but alhamdulillah we were able to go online. So I would first of all like to welcome everybody to our show or program, and also congratulate everyone on the arrival of the month of Ramadan. Of course, when I say that, I don't mean that today was the first of Ramadan. We'll talk about that as well. Inshallah, tomorrow is going to be the first of Ramadan across the world, at least in the Shia world, especially in North America. And about the program a little bit that we're going to be having these days, we usually, when it's time to fast, fasting season comes, we are struggling with questions that we have, questions that come up. Every person, you know, we ask our questions from will have different answers given to them, and we don't know who to trust sometimes. And I know I've been there and done that, brothers and sisters. Happens all the time. You're not sure if the answers you're getting are accurate or not. The worst is when you actually get an answer, you're like, yes, I got my answer. And then you go, and then later on, only to find out that, oh, the answer was wrong. So that really hurts, man. That really hurts. And because of that, we were speaking with some of the brothers involved in Mizan Institute, and this idea came to mind that, hey, why not, you know, do something in Ramadan where answers can be given and the rulings and ahkam of the fast can be covered, but not like everyone else, you know, like every other normal, you know, ahkam session or Q&A or so on. What we want to do, inshallah, is go to these sources, as I said in the post that introduced this idea that we're going to be having this program, this Mizan live program. As I said there, we want to go straight to the sources of our maraja and just read off of them, discuss them together, inshallah. If people have questions, they can post their questions and leave them here on the Facebook page as well. And inshallah, we'll try our best, or I'll try my best to address those questions. Of course, it's not just going to be me. Inshallah, Sheikh Mehdi Ristani also is going to be helping us out with and contributing also to this cause, inshallah. So maybe one day I'll be covering ahkam, another day he'll be covering ahkam, 2 days I'll be doing it, one day he'll be doing it, vice versa. And we've split the rulings into two parts. The rulings, he'll be covering mostly those things that, you know, the invalidators of the fast. There's a lot of questions there. And you'll be surprised, actually, brothers and sisters, you'll be surprised that there are a lot of things out there that we didn't know. We were going hard on ourselves when it wasn't necessary. And sometimes even, it's the opposite, the exact opposite. We are going too easy on ourselves when we have to be a little more strict regarding certain things. Sometimes we think certain things are going to break the fast. Sometimes we're not sure. All that kind of stuff, inshallah. That's with him, the invalidators. And of course, there's other stuff too, if I can convince him. Because it's not an easy topic. If I can convince him also to cover some of the rulings related to those who travel. Because I don't know how many of you out there know, the rulings of the traveler are a hard topic altogether when it comes to fiqh and ijtihad. And there's differences of opinion there, lots of them. So if I can convince him, inshallah, to cover that topic too as well, and other topics he's going to be covering. I'll be starting with some of the conditions for fast being wajib, the fast being obligatory on a person. There are some misunderstandings there, inshallah, as well, that I want to cover off of the books, inshallah. Now you might be asking yourselves, what is this Mizan Institute? Inshallah, in the future, we will explain more what it's all about. But in a nutshell, what Mizan is all about is education, is a deeper understanding of Islam, Islamic ma'arif, Islamic teachings. The main objective of this institute is to spread out across America. Face-to-face courses are going to be held where, you know, the works of the greats have been used. And the delivery also is going to be accompanied with course guides and, you know, something more, a little more professional that we have out there already. And inshallah, the details will come. So in other words, it all boils down to us trying to offer more education, deeper education to the brothers and sisters out there that have reached their 20s, you know, have gotten a little older, Sunday school is over, I don't know, Islamic school is over, they're going to university, stuff like that, and they're longing and yearning for more. Inshallah, it's a platform for that. But on the side as well, inshallah, we're going to be doing little programs here and there we feel are beneficial to the brothers and sisters out there. And so to get into, you know, what books we have, what sources we're going to be going to, there are four or five sources that we will be using mainly. Of course, with Ayatollah Sistani and Ayatollah Khamenei. The rulings of fasting, usually the normal rulings of fasting out there, not the ones that are related to, for example, traveling and stuff like that, usually there isn't too much difference of opinion there. If there is going to be a main difference of opinion, we'll point it out. Other than that, we'll be going off of the fatawa and the rulings of Ayatollah Sistani, inshallah. And if you have any questions, please feel free to leave a question in the comment section. And inshallah, I'll try to answer to the best of my ability. One more thing I want to say, by the way, is that, brothers and sisters, I don't know this notion of anyone who's gone to Hawza is going to have all the answers. This notion is not very accurate. And we're going to be trying our best, of course. It's not like, personally, I haven't spent time when it comes to on Ahkam too much. No, from almost day one, when you enter Hawza, you're dealing with it on a daily basis. And it was my field of interest as well. I've really, me, Sheikh Mahdi, and others that I know out there, they really have like really killed themselves trying to learn these ahkam and go to the depths of them and like all the different questions that might come up, etc. So, but having said all of that, it's still a tough topic. It's very tough, and there are many questions out there, many new things that come up that can be very confusing sometimes. So, as I'm going to make this disclaimer if there are questions out there that I can't answer, hey, that's just how it is. We're going to try our best, though, inshallah, to answer. And if we can't figure an answer out, I guess we'll have to, you know, do a little bit more research. But as I said, what's in the books usually regarding the fast, our brothers and sisters out there, or my colleagues out there, they really, you know, they can figure those out. It's what's not in the books that really causes a problem sometimes. Okay, having said all of that, I want to introduce to you the sources that we will be using. Why? As I said, I'm tired personally myself of hearing of all the hearsay regarding different rulings. This one says this one says that. This is wajib while it's not wajib, this one's haram, this one's muftir while it's not muftir and breaks the fast, doesn't break the fast, all that stuff. So, you know, let's just cut to the chase, let's get to the bottom of things and go to the actual sources. What are those sources? Ayatollah Sistani, Hafidhullah, he has a few books. Alhamdulillah, he has these online as well, although they're pretty technical, some of them. The number one book that I would say is the number one book for Ayatollah Sistani's fatawa, if you want to be 100% sure. If you want to be 100% sure that you have his fatwa on something, is to find it in his book of Al-Urwatul Wuthqa. Of course, that's not his book, Sayyid Kadhim al-Yazdi's book. Long story there. What this book is all about, but it is one of the most detailed, if not the most detailed fatwa book that we have today, by a great marja of the past. The thing is, though, what gives it authority for us and makes it binding on us, the rulings that are in this book, is the fact that each marja who wants to become a marja will have their own notes on this book. So, for example, Sayyid Kadhim al-Yazdi in his book, he will say, like, such and such thing is a muftir, breaks the fast. If someone out there of the maraja has a different opinion, he'll put a note right there that I believed otherwise. So instead of writing a whole new book, these maraja, what do? They just annotate and put their notes on that book. So if I was going to show you, for example, yeah. So this is Al-Urwatul Wuthqa. Those who are out there, probably maybe some of them are watching, like, yeah, I can see some of the comments already. Wa alaikum assalam, everybody. They know what this book is all about. This is everything when it comes to detailed rulings of Islam, of Shia fiqh and Shia jurisprudence. So now, I don't know if Ayatollah Sistani's notes have been printed with this Urwatul Wuthqa. But the good thing is, on his website, he has all of that. He has all of that, and it's two volumes like this. And the one that I have right now has the notes of Ayatollah Khoui, Ayatollah Khomeini, Imam Khomeini, Ayatollah Gulpaygani, Ayatollah Araki. So this is used and helps a lot. That's one book. Another book that we're going to be using, inshallah, is the book of Minhaj al-Salihin. Where is it? There you are. Minhaj al-Salihin of Ayatollah Sistani. Now, this book wasn't penned originally by Ayatollah Sistani. Once again, it's a book, I think, from Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim was the first one who actually penned this book. But then after him, Maraji' came and they were also annotating and putting their notes in this book as well. So Ayatollah Sistani also has his minhajis, his own Minhaj al-Salihin. And those notes and footnotes, they've been put into the, and integrated into the text. So this is also one of his books that we're going to be using. And we're going to be reading off of, actually, inshallah. That's number two. Now, there's another book that Imam Khomeini has. And Ayatollah Khamenei, lots of times, if you don't have his fatwa, you're allowed to go to that book, which is Imam Khomeini's book. And yeah, Tahrir al-Wasila, famous book. For Ayatollah Khamenei, sometimes we're going to be referring to this if his rulings are not in the other, in his other books. And then we have number three. There's a book in the Farsi section of his website. For those who can understand Farsi, you have something called Tawdihul or Tawzihul Masail al-Jami'. So I know people out there, they are familiar with this concept of Tawzi. They call it Tawzi. Tawdihul Masail, Risala Amaliyya. Yeah. Now, Ayatollah Sistani has his own Tawdihul Masail, or what's it called? Risala Amaliyya. And then he has another version of it as well. It's called Tawdih al-Masail Jami', the comprehensive Tawdih al-Masail. And it's in Farsi. The cool thing about this book is, and I don't want to bore you people, but I just want to make sure that, hey, if we're going to say something, inshallah, it is backed by the sources, and these are the sources. Tawdih al-Masail Jami', the comprehensive Tawdih al-Masail, Risala Amaliyya, what is it? What's the difference between it and the normal Tawdih al-Masail? Well, a big difference. Tawdih al-Masail Jami', that's on his website, in the introduction to that book, he says, hey, we have used Urwatul Wuthqa for this book. We have used Minhaj al-Salihin of Ayatollah Sistani for this book. We have sent in istifta'at and inquiries to the office of Ayatollah Sistani. Well, they haven't sent it. They are the office, so, you know, they probably just hand it over to the next room. He tells his friend, hey, give me the answer to this, and then he puts it in the book. So it seems that this book takes preference over all the others right now because it is looking at all the other books and being compiled. Okay, so having said that about Tawdih al-Masail Jami', we might be using that a lot as well. Number four. So what was it? Number one, Urwatul Wuthqa. Two, Minhaj al-Salihin. Three, Tawdih al-Masail Jami'. Number four, Istifta'at. Oh my God. Ayatollah Sistani's website, alhamdulillah, has so many questions and answers that have been shared on that website. It makes life easy for those who want to answer these questions or just learn about Ahkam, because there's a lot of stuff in there that is not covered in the books. Things that come to people's minds, sometimes your mind is, it blows me away sometimes. How could someone think of such a question? But yeah, it comes up. Like this scenario does come up. So what are we to do in such a scenario? So we're going to be using that as well. Ayatollah Khamenei's website also has istifta'at as well that have been shared. But Ayatollah Sistani's is more comprehensive, I would say. Now the thing is that you go on his English website, you will get, you know, the English Q&A. Awesome. But it's not as comprehensive as the Arabic or the Farsi. Personally, I'll go to the Arabic first. That's my priority. Then I'll go to the Farsi. Now, some people might say that sometimes the rulings, there's a mistake even in those istifta'at. That's okay. For us, it's binding. I haven't seen too many, you know, discrepancies there. So alhamdulillah, that's a very big blessing. Just the fact that we have Q&A at our disposal. And then we have normal books out there that, you know, have compiled like the rulings of fasting according to like 10 different marjans. Although we're not going to be covering all 10 marjans. marjas. We're going to be covering just Ayatul Sistani, Ayatul Khamenei, but there are some things in there as well, in these books as well, that, you know, sometimes you won't find anywhere else. And in the beginning of these books, you'll have a stamp by the marja's office as well, showing that you can go by this book. Usually that's the case. Anyway, those are the five sources we're going to be using. I hope half of you have not fallen asleep yet. But these introductions sometimes are very important and necessary. Moving on to actual ahkam and actual rulings. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let's start with Yawm al-Shak. So today, let me look at these comments. Oh, okay, cool. These are all people I know. No, I want people who don't know me, okay? Not people who know me. Anyway, it's good to see you guys. All you guys online. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Wa alaikum as-salam, everybody. All right. Yeah, shout out to all these brothers. Anyway, okay, let's not get carried off. Yawm al-Shak. Today was Yawm al-Shak. Let's talk about that a little bit, because every single year we've got the moon sighting issue, and then we've got moon wars, they call it. You know, it's just a joke. Of course, alhamdulillah, the brothers and sisters out there, they do get along. Some people blow this thing out of proportion, this moon sighting thing. Okay, it's not the moon's fault. It's not Islam's fault. Technology has grown so much that if somebody in some far off village sees something that they thought it was the moon, then they let the whole world know. Right there, they go on Facebook Live, they'd be like, hey people, look, I'm seeing the moon. You're like, I can't see it. But that guy's seeing it. It's interesting. Let me say this on the side as well. One of the Maraja's representatives, I've seen him personally, he said this, that they ran a test, okay? They ran a test where they sent out delegations to different parts of that region to do istihlal, to look for the moon and stuff and see if they see the moon on a night where it was impossible, astronomically impossible, to see the moon. He says we wanted to run a test just so that things are put into perspective a little more for us in the daftar and the office of the marja when it comes to actually announcing Eid or announcing the first day of the month of Ramadan. He said we wanted to just check it out, see what's going on. How real some of these sightings are that some people report to us. So they sent out these delegations on a night where it was impossible to see the moon. And sure enough, lots of people had sent a report back that they actually saw the moon. Because, you know, you're looking for the moon so much on the night of Eid, you know, 30 days or 29 days of fasting. You are looking for that moon, my friend. So they had seen it, but it was impossible to see it. Point being, nowadays we get a lot of reports from all over the place regarding the moon and sighting of the moon. For a person who's on their own, all right, let's say his name is Ghulam Ali. Ghulam Ali here, two people that he knows, you know, that are, you know, trustworthy, they're righteous, pious, muttaqi individuals, they tell him we saw the moon, he can take their word for it. But in a country or in a city or a region like North America or something, just because two people said they saw the moon, it's not enough for a group, a council of ulama and scholars to just make an announcement. Or one alim in a center to just make the announcement that, hey people, today, tomorrow is the first of Ramadan, or tomorrow is the first of Eid, because just two people happen to send a WhatsApp image, send an image over WhatsApp that, oh, this is the moon that we saw. Just last night this happened. Now those who are a little familiar with moon sighting, moonsighting.com, for example, which it shows, like, you know, it shows the diagrams, it shows the pictures of, and the calculations of how possible it will be to see the moon on a certain given night. Those of us who are a little familiar, know that today, Wednesday, was almost impossible, or let's not even say almost, like, very impossible, almost very. What kind of word is that? Almost very impossible. Anyway, almost very impossible to see the moon last night, Tuesday night. Now, the thing is, an image comes to my phone. You see that moon crescent in that image, and they're saying that this came from, I don't know, somewhere on the East Coast. This image is from the East Coast. The moon has been sighted. I'm like, no, wait a minute, people. Please. And this happened last year too. Sometimes pictures just are shared. It's from like 13 years ago. And then for some weird reason, everyone thinks it's from this year. Things like this happen all the time. So now they're pushing you. Announce. Should we announce? Is tomorrow the first? Is tomorrow Eid? Eid, you know? We want it to be Eid so we can eat. You get what I'm saying? So no, that's not how it works, brothers and sisters. Images that are shared is good. I mean, if someone becomes sure and gains certainty, it's all good. But that's the thing. Our ulama right now, when they're in charge of centers, in charge of communities, it's not that easy to just make an announcement based on an image that's floating around. So last night that happened. Everyone knew, of those who know how the moon sighting thing works to an extent, everyone knew today is almost impossible to see the moon, for today to be the first of Ramadan, to see the moon last night, and then an image starts circulating. Anyway, that's a long story. I don't want to go on about that. This is not a moon sighting session. Having said all of that, these comments are throwing me off. Having said all of that, let's move into Yawm al-Shak, the day of Shak. All right. So last night was yesterday was the 29th of Sha'ban, for sure. And then you have today being, we don't know, is it the 30th or is it the first of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan? We're not sure. Now, let's just say there was a possibility of seeing the moon. Let's just say there was a possibility of seeing the moon last night. But people have gone out, they didn't see it, there are reports coming, going, everyone's talking about it. Is tomorrow the first? Is not tomorrow the first? Or is tomorrow not the first? What happens is, today arrives, Wednesday. Someone says, I don't know, is it the first of Ramadan or not? Is it or not? They call this day a day of Shak, Yawm al-Shak. We are not sure if it's the first of the next month or is it the 30th of the previous month that we were in. Yeah? What are the rulings regarding Yawm al-Shak? Very simple. You can fast on Yawm al-Shak, no problem at all. But you have to make sure that you don't have the intention of the first of Ramadan. That's all. You can fast on the 30th day of that month when you're not sure if the next day is the first of the month of Ramadan or not, with the intention of a mustahab fast, if you don't have any qada fasts on you, or with the intention of a qada fast, if you have qada fast on you. Okay? And you're good to go. You're fasting that day. If throughout the day you find out that, as a matter of fact, it was Eid. The first of Ramadan. It was the first of the month of Ramadan. There are so many reports coming in, and now we found out, we were able to ascertain and establish that today is the first of Ramadan, as a matter of fact. So this person who was fasting on this day, what happens is, automatically, their fast, of course they will have the intention from there on as well, will become the fast of the month of Ramadan. That's if today becomes the first of the month. Okay? But if it remains the 30th, then you're good. You did a mustahab fast, you did a qada fast, you're good. Is it wajib to fast on Yawm al-Shak? I wake up in the morning, on that day, which I don't know, is it the 30th of the previous month, or is it the first of the next month? Is it the 30th of Sha'ban, or is it the first of the month of Ramadan? If I wake up at 10 a.m., for example, which is pretty late, you shouldn't wake up at that time. But anyway, if I wake up at that time and I'm like, is it Ramadan or is it not the month of Ramadan? I don't know. You know, I call a couple of friends up, I hit them up, they're like, hey, I'm like, hey, is it the first? They're like, no, we don't know either. Do you have to abstain from eating and drinking until you become sure it's not Ramadan? And it is, as a matter of fact, the 30th of Sha'ban still? No, it's not wajib at all. You can go ahead and have your, I don't know, pancakes and scrambled eggs and stuff. With some orange juice, of course. Yeah, you can go ahead and have all of that. It's not wajib to fast Yawm al-Shak. The only drawback, if you can call it a drawback, is that, wa alaykum as-salam, brother, is that, the only drawback is if you ate throughout the day, and then later on you found out that it is the first of the month of Ramadan, it just so happened to be the first. it wasn't wajib on you to fast, and you weren't fasting, and you found out later that, oh my God, it was the first of Ramadan. The only drawback, if you can call it a drawback, is that you're going to have to make that day up. That's it. That's all. No kafara, no fidya, none of that. You just have to make that day up. Why? Because the month of Ramadan has arrived. We didn't know. We had permission from the Sharia and Islamic law to not fast, and we didn't fast. Who's going to pass up on some pancakes, huh? So, that's the only, quote-unquote, of course, drawback. Drawback, that's it. Usually, though, the mu'minin out there, the brothers and sisters out there, what do? They fast on that day anyway. Because, you know, they want to get into the mood and of the holy month as well. Although it might not be wajib. Yes. So that's Yawm al-Shak for you. There are other things as well that might apply. What I said, all the examples that I gave were regarding the Yawm al-Shak of 30th of Sha'ban versus 1st of the month of Ramadan. Now, everything that I said, the exact opposite holds for Yawm al-Shak of the 30th of the month of Ramadan versus 1st of Shawwal. Yeah? So, we don't have too many moon wars when it's the beginning of Ramadan, because, as I said, brothers and sisters out there, they'll usually fast Yawm al-Shak anyway. The actual, quote-unquote, I don't want this to, you know, become a thing, I don't want to coin a term here, but the actual problems will come up when it's the 30th of the month of Ramadan, because the next day, if it's Eid, you don't want to fast because it's haram. And if it isn't Eid, you have to fast, it's wajib. So what happens there is that on that day, although I don't know if I should be covering this now because that's 30 days from now, but just letting everybody know, now that we're talking about Yawm al-Shak, that's also a case, an example of Yawm al-Shak. What you do then is that you have to fast the next day. You have to fast the next day. Istishaban li Ramadan al-Mubarak, of course, for the Hawza students listening. Yeah, istishab is jari. Oh God, I hope I don't make a mistake on this stuff. Anyway, so you have to continue with the month of Ramadan, and you have to assume that it's the 30th of the month of Ramadan, and you have to fast with the intention of Ramadan. And then if in the middle of the day you find out that, oh, it was actually Eid, then you're good. Like last year, oh my God, last year was like one of the hardest years in when it comes to figuring out if it's Eid or not. Last year's night of the 30th/1st of Shawwal, and figuring out whether it was Eid or not was hard. I mean, it went all the way till Fajr time almost. And people were actually having their Sahri or Suhoor, but they found out that, you know, they found out that it's not the month of Ramadan anymore. So they broke their fast. So that's Yawm al-Shak for you in kind of a nutshell. I don't know if I can call that a nutshell. That was a big nutshell. Let's move on. Let's move on to, oh, my favorite. My favorite. Now this one, let me see if I can pull it up real quick on the website of Ayatollah Sistani. You know, because I fear for my life sometimes when I want to, you know, explain these rulings, because it goes against some people's perceptions, and I just want to make sure that they know who to go to. Not come to me if you have a problem with the ruling. Please go to Ayatollah Sistani himself, because this is from his website. This whole idea of imsak. Yes, imsak. Now, when we look in our calendars, In the calendars of the Islamic calendars that they pass out in our centers and stuff, you will have a Fajr time, you will have a Dhuhr time, Asr time for the month of Ramadan, of course. And then you'll have the Imsak time. I'm just trying to bring this up on his website. I can't find it right now. I hate it when this happens. All right, so. What is this imsak? For us, you know, growing up, this, we've all been through this. You can't hide. You can't tell me this doesn't happen. Those last 10 minutes, those of you who actually have the suhoor, those last 10 minutes before Fajr time, are gold. You know what I'm talking about. That is the best time. I mean, the efficiency of those 10 minutes in getting the suhoor in you is just something else. Like, it's miraculous. So I want to pull this up real quick. This is istiftat from Ayatollah Sistani asking about this whole imsak. What is imsak first? Let me tell you this. What is imsak? Imsak is, on these calendars, you'll find that like usually 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes before Fajr time, you will have something called imsak time. Where imsak, of course, means to hold back, to not to abstain from something. All right, so wait a minute. Imsak in the calendar is 15 minutes, 12 minutes, 20 minutes maybe before Fajr time. That means, okay, do I have to stop eating at imsak time or do I have to stop eating at Fajr time? Which one is meant here? So let me pull this up real quick. Alright, cool, thanks. Oh, this one, yeah, found it, yeah. Okay, alhamdulillah. Let me tell you this, brothers and sisters, first. Number one, one of the representatives of Ayatollah Khamenei has a video clip explaining this, that people, please understand, in the Shia fiqh and in the Shia faith, well, let's not call it Shia faith, in the Shia fiqh, what we have is Fajr. Fajr time is imsak time. Fajr time is when you stop eating. Before that, you can eat. Yeah? Bodybuilders out there, you can have your protein shakes. I know how important it is to you. You don't want to lose them gains. I know what it's all about. So you don't want to lose them gains. You want to put in that protein shake. Bismillah, go for it. Right? God doesn't want you to lose them gains. Right? Anyway, not funny. This marja's representative explains that, listen people, you don't have to stop eating until Fajr time. It's not even mustahab. The Shia faith does not have anything that says it's mustahab to stop eating 10, 15, 20 minutes before Fajr time. If you want to do ihtiyat and be on the safe side, that's another story. But we don't have a time. We don't have this unwan. We don't have this title, this term, where it says we have an imsak time. Imsak time. Imsak time, we don't have that in the hadith. He says, I'm not saying, I'm just channeling what he said. I've heard him myself with my own two ears. He was explaining this. And it made me even happier when I found that Ayatollah Sistani's website also has addressed this issue. Let me read it to you real quick. So the question is, someone is asking, we live in Sweden. And if I can, says we're living in Sweden. We live in Sweden, and the imsak time. If we're gonna go by the imsak time, if we want to go by the imsak time, it says, he says, hal yahiq, is it okay for a person? Hal yajuz, excuse me. Okay, there's a bunch of questions here. One second. It says, we're in Sweden. وَسَوْفَ يَهِلُّ عَلَيْنَا شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الْمُبَارَكُ. We're in Sweden and the month of Ramadan is approaching. But we have a problem. What's your problem? مُشْكِلَتُنَا أَنَّ اللَّيْلَ هُنَا فِي الصَّيْفِ قَصِيرٌ جِدًّا. That the night here is very short. These are Scandinavian countries. The night is very short. وَمَوَاقِيتُ الصَّلَاةِ الصَّادِرَةِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْمَسَاكِنِ الْإِسْلَامِيَّةِ هُنَا يَكُونُ وَقْتِ الْإِمْسَاكِ فِيهَا قَبْلَ الْفَجْرِ بِوَقْتٍ كَثِيرٍ. That the centers and the places that we have in here, Islamic places that we have here, when they give out these calendars and stuff, the distance or the time between Fajr and Imsak time is great. It's a lot. وَهَذَا مُحْرِجٌ لَنَا. This is hard. This puts us in a hard situation. فَهَلْ يَجِبْ شَرْعًا الْإِلْتِزَامِ بِوَقْتِ الْإِمْسَاكِ الْمَذْكُورِ. Do we have to go by this? This is Ayatollah Sistani's istifta'at. جواب الجواب إِنَّ وَقْتَ الْإِمْسَاكِ شَرْعًا هُوَ طُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ. That, hello, please pay attention. وَقْت, the time for imsak and abstaining from muftirat, and those things that break the fast, from a shar'i perspective, hearsay is another story. But people say something else. But if you want to go by the shar' and sharia, then it's the tulu' al-fajr. It's when we have fajr time, when it's time to pray salat al-fajr. Yeah. I thought these were two. Oh my God. No, they're not two. They're one. Waqt al-imsak is tulu' al-fajr. The time for imsak and staying and abstaining from your protein shake is fajr time. Are you saying that I can have 2 minutes before the adhan of fajr, I can have my dates, I can have my protein shake, I can have whatever? Yes, you can. My pakora, yes, you can have your pakora. Which I don't know why people have that stuff. That stuff's not healthy. All right. وتحري وقت طلوعه في مكان السكن في مكان سكون المكلف من وظيفته. He goes on. He talks about other things, but he says imsak. There is no such thing as that. So now, once again, I have to emphasize that there is no mustahab thing out there by the name of waqtul imsak that you want to, you know, just go by and you get more rewards because you're going by waqtul imsak. Yes, sometimes some people, they want to be on the safe side. They want to do ihtiyat. So they'll stop eating before Fajr time a little bit just to make sure that they have observed the time. That's good. That's good and mustahab, maybe even not because it's imsak, you're going by imsak time. You're going by ihtiyat. So you can do it 7 minutes before. You can do it 3 minutes before. You can do it 20 minutes before. But there is no specific time that says, all right, from this time onwards, it's imsak time. You know, that kind of thing. You know, I'm scarred for life because I still remember once when I was growing up as a kid. You know, it's hard to fast as a kid, even if you're not baligh yet, you know. And especially when you're not baligh yet, I mean. Because you know it's not wajib on you. So then you, I was at a friend's place and we had about 10 minutes left before Fajr time. And they stopped me from eating suhoor and they said, no, it's imsak time. It was there that I knew that we have a problem. And so anyway, the solution is, brothers and sisters, the answer is that no. Both according to Ayatollah Khamenei and his representative who has explained this, and the clips are out there for that, and Ayatollah Sistani's istifta'at, this waqtul imsak is not something that's mustahab in and of itself. If you want to, you know, get some reward, maybe. You do a little bit of ihtiyat, however much you like, however much makes you feel like, okay, you observed Fajr, although that much is not even wajib. You can eat until you are sure Fajr has kicked in. There are some details to this ruling though. If I find out later that I had gone over the time actually, there are some rulings there. But since they're not too practical and they won't really come up, that I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to explain any more than that. I just wanted to make sure that we're on the same page, inshallah, brothers and sisters, when it comes to this whole concept of imsak. Now, someone might ask, where did this come from? Where did the concept of imsak come from? I'm not 100% sure, but something tells me that because, especially in the West, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of intermingling, especially in the past. Nowadays, there's more separation between different schools of thought, different fiqhi schools. Each will have their own center maybe sometimes and so on. But back in the day, I remember as a kid growing up, there was a lot of intermingling and there was a lot of assimilation, if you want to call it, between the different schools of thought and the different fiqhi schools of thought even. And Sunnis and Shias were together. It's something tells me that it has made its way from the Sunni school into the Shia school, especially since I've noticed that these ulama that explain how we don't have this concept of imsak, when they're explaining it, they say this is not something that is in the school of Ahlul Bayt. That implies that, you know, it's probably something that you can find in other schools of thought. Alright, so I'm just going to say that anyone who has a problem with what I said, they can go on Ayatollah Sistani's website and look this up themselves, inshallah. Now, Brother Samir here, he says, the problem is in some of these Scandinavian countries, they haven't agreed on when Fajr time is in the first place. That is true. But that's not what we call imsak. They should put the word ihtiyat on there maybe. Okay, so for example, some of these countries, yeah, it is very hard to figure out fajr time. It is, I agree. And then on the calendars, what they'll write is, you know, imsak, and then 1 hour later, fajr. That means that if you wanna, we're not sure where in between this 1 hour fajr actually falls in. So to be sure that your fast is proper, stop fasting, stop eating an hour before fajr. And then if you want to make sure your fajr salat is done in the right time, wait until this time to do your fajr salat. So for example, in a Scandinavian country like Sweden, I don't know, whatever. Let's say they're not sure. They can't figure out, is fajr time, is it 2 a.m.? Or is it 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. even? So that is that gray area right there, between 2 and 4 a.m. So in the calendar, they should write, like, if you want to do ihtiyat, stop eating at 2 o'clock because you want, that way you're on the safe side. And then if you want to do your fajr salat though, do it after 4 a.m. because that's when we're sure it has actually kicked in. The time for salat has actually arrived. Salat al-fajr. Yes. That's ihtiyat, brothers and sisters. Technically, going by the books say that if you're not sure fajr has arrived, you can go on. You can go on and continue eating until you're sure fajr has arrived. Once again, I think istishab is what is, you know, that overriding principle here. So, you can go on. Now, go on eating. If you find out later that, oh, as a matter of fact, fajr time was 2, not 4 a.m. And I ate till 4, mashallah. It depends on a few things. From what I remember, I have to look this up just to make sure again, but from what I remember, if you actually looked into the sky to figure out fajr time and you felt like it's not fajr time yet, and you continued eating, and it turned out that it was fajr time, later on you found out, your fast is valid. But if you just did istishab, they call it, and you just said, inshallah, it hasn't come yet, the time hasn't come yet, and you're allowed to do that Islamically, and you ate without looking into the sky and trying to figure it out based on the signs, then you might have to make that day up. Just that day, no kafara or anything, because at the end of the day, you were still sanctioned and allowed to continue eating. That's something I remember seeing in Tahrir al-Wasila of Imam al-Khumayni, but I'm not sure if Ayatollah Sistani has that same fatwa, inshallah. Let me write that down. I'll have to look that up later. Yeah. All right. Let me look at some of these comments just to make sure I'm not skipping anything. I'm sorry. I'm not seeing all the comments, so I don't know what's going on here. Digital events, no, not correct. Okay. Anyway, let's move on. So that is Imsak time. Now, what time is it? Okay, I think we've gone long enough. I think it might not be a bad idea to just end it here. One more thing, let me just explain before I end, brothers and sisters. People ask about the calendars, and I'm covering this stuff. Okay, so we have a question here. I thought in Jamaat al-Mustafa they taught us that Iran's moon sighting was hujjah on everyone. Hujjah, probably, if they said that, probably in the sense that Iran is so far east, if they see it in the east, of course it's going to hold for the west. This has to do with moon sighting, brother Aswad. You know who you are. Salam Aswad. Shout out to brother Aswad. We're old friends. So, if Hujjah in that sense, in the sense that, you know, if they see it in Iran, of course they have seen it, or it's visible here in the west. You get what I'm saying? But that has to do with moon sighting, and in the beginning, as I said in the beginning, we don't want to get into moon sighting issues. Brother Hadi says, Sheikh, there was a question about using apps. What do you mean by using apps? Using apps to see the moon, determine when the first of the month is, or regarding salat timings? So if you can specify, I'll appreciate it. If the If the website of our center, Moment Center, says Maghrib is at 8:32, but if you look outside, it looks as if the sun hasn't set all the way, what is the right thing to do? Okay, thank you for saying that. These calendars, these websites, our center's websites, all of these things that are out there that will tell us one way or another what the prayer timings are in our respective regions of living, where we're living. None of these are binding on us. None of these are binding on us. What matters in the case of these things, like apps, like websites, and so on, is our certainty. Okay, if I become sure through a website, through an app, that yeah, this is the time that I have to, I can go by that time. And if I don't become sure for whatever reason, I doubt it, then I can't go by it. As a matter of fact, I don't have to, but I can't go by it. I can't pray. If I'm not sure Maghrib time has set in yet, I can't start breaking my fast. I can't, unless I'm sure. These apps, the good thing about them though nowadays is that they're based on a couple, if not more or less two or three, give or take, ways or formulas for calculating Salat time. And since it's either the Tehran Geophysics Institute of Tehran, or there's another institute out there, I forgot the name of it. Usually the apps out there, they're based on, and the calendars that are given out, they're based on these two methods of identifying and determining the prayer times. So what you have is Dhuhr time is not too hard to calculate, brothers and sisters. So you'll look at these apps, usually you won't find a difference between Dhuhr time. Maghrib time also isn't too hard to calculate. Why? You don't need to calculate it. You look at the sky, you can tell that okay, it's Maghrib time. Although there it's not as easy, but it's not that hard either. But Fajr time is killer, right? And from what I remember, these two institutes, the Geophysics, if I'm not mistaken, and the Leva Institute. Yeah, this one's in Qom too. The Institute of Leva, and the Geophysics Center or Institute, I don't know, of Tehran or something like that. I don't know if there's any more. The Fajr time is the tough one to figure out. That one's tough, because Dhuhr time is when Zawal of the sun happens. Zawal means when something begins to, well, in this context means when the sun begins to cease to be in the sky. In other words, when it starts to set. When does it start setting? The sun starts setting when it hits the middle of the sky and then starts moving towards the west in a few hours to go down and set. When the sun reaches that top point in the middle of the sky and then starts moving down again, that's when Dhuhr time begins. It's not that hard apparently to calculate that. They have their ways of calculating all of that. And you know, I've even seen ulama, they explain this, that you know, what you find in the calendars or on these Islamic, like Iran's TV, or I don't know, the apps and stuff, which are based on the Tehran Geophysics or the Leva Institute, these usually they might be at most 30 seconds off or something, right? So if your app says 12:26 or 1:26 is Dhuhr time, you can start praying at 1:27. But they all say that Fajr time is a hard one. Why? Because there's two ways apparently, or two formulas or whatever. I'm not good at this stuff too much, but I know this, I researched it before. Sometimes the sun is 16 degrees below the horizon when it's rising, when it wants to become Fajr time. Sometimes it's 17.7 degrees, something like that, I remember. Um, 16 degrees versus 17 and a half degrees gives you a 10-15 minute difference. That's why some apps, these apps, when you look at them, when you change the bases of their calculation method from one institute to the other, all of a sudden you see the Fajr timing changed 10-15 minutes. Due to this difference, I feel sometimes people want to do imsak, okay? And that's why Fajr time has that little bit of gray area. Because of the 17.7 degrees versus the 16 degrees, you have this issue, you have this problem. So people might want to do ihtiyat. Okay, so that's the problem with these calendars slash apps, is that you have to become certain. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, personally, with Maghrib time, even if 2 minutes pass, I mean, you're pretty sure. Even if you go at the time of it, usually these calendars, they'll add maybe a couple minutes just to make sure that Maghrib time has set in. Dhuhr time is not a problem either, personally. I'll pray 1 or 2 minutes after Dhuhr time on my calendar or on my app, on my Adhan app or Muslim app or whatever you call it. But Fajr time is the tricky one in that sense. So now, what do we go by? What I'll personally do, although this is not binding on anybody, and I don't even want to share this, but you know, I'll just say it anyway. What I'll do is, you know, if one of those two methods of calculations is like 15 minutes sooner than the other one, and one of them says, for example, Fajr time is 5:30, the other one says 5:45, if I want, I'll eat till 5:30, I'll eat till 5:35 maybe even, you know, a little bit longer than that, because it's not wajib to stop then at 5:30. I'll go on a little bit longer, you know, I'll stop, you know, I'll brush my teeth and that kind of thing. And I won't pray Fajr though till 5:45. And there is no way in the future to find out if which one was right, which one was wrong. Because I'm going to be honest with you, brothers and sisters, the natural phenomenon that the Sharia and Islamic fiqh has given us to figure out Fajr is kind of hard, especially with artificial light out there nowadays. I don't know, it says like a beam of light you have to see that is going up through the sky. And then when it spreads, that's Fajr time. When that beam of light, not like a very distinct beam of light, but it says like, it calls it Amud. The Amud of light, that beam of light or that pillar of light, whatever you want to call it, when it goes up, that's Al-Fajr Al-Kadhib. If I'm not mistaken, I'm just going off of my memory right now. And then once it spreads in the sky, it's Al-Fajr Al-Sadiq. So a person who doesn't know thinks that the sky has to light up before it's Fajr time. No, that's not how it works. If you're in the desert, some people have done that. And that's where this Liva Institute came in the picture, brothers and sisters. They say, if I'm not mistaken, once again, if the brothers that are online right now, because I know who you are, some of you have done the work, if you can tell me, I think it's under Ayatollah Shubaydi Zanjani, this great marja, may Allah protect him. Him and his guys, they were like, you know what, we're going to go out to the desert ourselves. We're not gonna wait for calculations and stuff. They went out to the desert and they actually figured out the actual Fajr isn't 17.7 degrees, it's 16 degrees, and you know, Fajr is a little later than what some calendars are saying. That's where this Liva Institute came in the picture, from what I remember, what I've heard before. Anyway, these are all details I know some people might not appreciate, others might appreciate greatly. Point being, for me and you now, what do I do, Shaykh? What do I do? You can continue with your suhoor until you're sure Fajr time has set in, and you can't pray Fajr Salat until you're sure Fajr Salat, the time for Fajr Salat has set in. So if my app says 5:30 and the other one says 5:45, you can eat till 5:30, you can eat till 5:35 even, because there's a chance that the 5:45 one is right. You can go on till that time. And then once you're sure that it's 5:45, you stop and then you start praying after that. Personally, I won't go all the way till the 5:45. When that app says 5:30, I'll go till maybe 5:35-ish, something like that, you know? Because as I said, this is something that cannot be really established and ascertained that easily. We're allowed to go longer than that. And if we find out later, the worst is that you have to make that day up. The worst case is that you have to make that up. Okay. Let me look at some comments before I end. See if I missed anything here. Any questions here? Kafara. Someone's asking about kafara. We have 20 days, inshallah, with you. I was thinking that we're going to go for like half an hour. It's been already like an hour. So we will have 20 days of an hour or more, or maybe less. So we're going to get to kafara for sure. Kafara is going to be covered separately for sure. Shaykh, can you provide the names of the books again? The books, Al-Urwatul Wuthqa, Minhaj al-Salihin, Tawzi'u al-Masail al-Jami'. Yeah, I said it with a Farsi accent. Tawzi'u al-Masail al-Jami'. The Istifta'at of Sayyid Sistani on his website. And finally, these smaller books, that those of you who know, like in Bustan al-Kitab, they have them where they've compiled the rulings of different maraji in those books. These are the books that I'm going to be using, or we're going to be using. What else do we have here? Oh man, this stuff, I don't know how to use this stuff. I can't scroll up. Can't see all the comments. Alright. So, alhamdulillah, I'm going to end it here. And inshallah, tomorrow we'll continue with this same topic. Tomorrow we need to talk about the ill ones, the sick ones, and the conditions for the fast being wajib to begin with. Yeah, lots of times the fast is not even wajib on us. Lots of times people go out of their way and fast when it's not wajib on them, and as a matter of fact, they have to make up that fast because they fasted when they weren't supposed to. Acting all super religious for Allah. Allah says, the Sharia says, I don't want you to fast. These specific individual types of people don't need to fast. No, I want to fast for you, O Allah. That's not how it works. We need to talk about, inshallah, that and other things as well tomorrow. If you can, I do know that these rulings usually aren't covered. The books are hard to read. As I said, there's a lot of hearsay. I provided the references for what I was saying. They're in the books, these books. And but that's why I feel like, although I don't like really, you know, making too much noise and going out there and putting yourself out there, but the brothers and sisters, they do have these questions. So if any of you feel that these are beneficial to people and they could also benefit from them, please don't hesitate to share the link with them. And if you can like the Mizan page as well, share that as well, because inshallah in the future big things are in the works for this. As I said, we're looking forward to educating the Muslim community out there at large in a face-to-face setting, in a professional with a professional delivery, and courses that people need, deeper knowledge, more backbone, and more integrity, inshallah, that we can give to our brothers and sisters out there who appreciate it and who feel that they need such a thing. Keep us in your du'as. Tonight, inshallah, is the night of the first of Ramadan for most, if not all, of the ones in the West. Maybe Ayatollah Khoui's followers, some of them are held fast today as the first of Ramadan, I don't know. But Ayatollah Sistani's followers, Ayatollah Khamenei's followers, most of them, if not all of them, tomorrow is their first day. So that makes tonight the first of Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan. Inshallah, tonight there are special du'as. Inshallah, you keep us in those du'as, and inshallah, Allah gives us the tawfiq and strength to continue these sessions as well. And yes, the brother asks, Sayyid Mahdi Jafri asks, can this be posted after the live session? Yeah, it'll be posted, inshallah, after the live session as well. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.